originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Shauna Mack. I am your Imperious Leader here. Actually, the guy producing the show, he's the Imperious Leader. Kind of look like one today. Anyway, that hair. No. Your mic's not on.
That's a low blow.
There you go. And welcome to
Silence
the program.
I'm telling you to keep the humans entertained till the end.
Which we will try. Once again, this is Subject to Discussion live from Las Vegas and LVRocks.com. If you're out there listening, you want to get into the chat room before we bring our guest on, to go to LVRocks.com, click on Cam and Chat, and you can join us in the chat room. And we could talk about Galactica, or you all can beat each other up in the chat room whenever you want. But in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Tomo Peniket. He plays Carl Agathon on Battlestar Galactica. And before we get to that, I want to...
I don't give a frack.
There she is. There's Grace Park.
Oh, that was my response to you, my hair comment.
That was...
I don't give a frack.
There you go. Boomer Sharon.
Has anyone copyrighted that term yet, frack? Because a lot of people are using that now.
I'm sure they have. Don't you think, Phil? Universal? They have to. Anybody out there knows if NBC Universal is copywriting that name, let us know in the chat room. I bet in my life that they copywritten that name, don't you think? I don't know. Unless they want people just to say it, and they'll be like, where'd you get that at? They'll say Battlestar Galactica.
Well, you know, was it Pat Riley or whoever copyrighted Three-Peat?
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley.
Three-Peat. So when the Bulls did it, they had to pay him money to
say the word
Three-Peat on the shirts. Yeah.
When the Super Bowl rolls around, the Super Bowl says if you're going to do ads, you can't say Super Bowl, so they say the big game.
Big game, the soup, S-O-U-P-E-R, like they're having soup. A bowl of Super Bowl, you know. And before we get going, well, I want to say about the ratings from last week from Colonial Day. Was a 2.3 household rating, which is up from a 2.1 from the week before. Let's see what else. 1849's had 1,647,000 people watching the program. And then all the ratings are all up 7% from the week before. And are up 6% in their primary demographics for the show, which means the younger viewers. So, and the show's going gangbusters. And I gave the producer, the Imperious Leader, a TV guide thing with... The women on there, never mind. And but it was interesting how like you said that they're spoiling some of the storylines for the show. But I have a feeling that TV guide? I don't know. What'd you do with it? I think the Cylons made off with the TV guide. Oh, there it is. Underneath the Battlestar Galactica miniseries CD, which we have as well. So, and I got my cut paper again. All the corners have been cut. So, look at the. There you go. There you go. I think they know what it looks like. I think everybody in that chat, in the chat room listening knows what I'm talking about. If they don't, they're in a lot of trouble because it's already gone. There you go. Oh, move my fingers. All right. There you go. I gotta shake the camera like you do on the show. Con. There you go. There you go. All right. Well, this is like the Colonial Gang that was on the show last week. It is on. There you go. So I'll shake the camera like they do on the show. So here we go. Does this qualify me to be a cameraman on Battlestar Galactica if I shake the camera a little bit? What do you think? But anyway, it's quite interesting how, like I said, a lot of them were saying how I said that last week, but a lot of people haven't joined us, don't join us from week to week, which is, shame on you. But, Mary McDonnell saying that the set, she was like working on the President, Colonial One set because the ceiling's too low and the lighting's not as good, and she was around, she'll just shoot her in the foot then. It's good that, they have good and bad, and they feel like they can speak their mind on about the series, which is good. I mean, a lot of people, don't say anything bad about the show. But at least there's, you know, she's able to speak her mind, and I doubt they'll do anything to her. But and what else is going on? There's going to be a GateCon, for those of you who don't know. It's going to heavily feature Galactica. Richard Hatch and Dirk Benedict, they're going to be in a rare appearance. GateCon Sci-Fi Convention takes place in Vancouver. For Galactica fans, this year promises to be a special treat. In addition to Aaron Douglas, who plays Chief Tyrell, Alonzo Yarson, a former guest, two former guests, Specialist Socinus, Tomo Peniket, and which is he'll be on in just a minute or so, and Candace McClure from the new Battlestar Galactica series. The convention will also feature a special appearance by Richard Hatch. Richard Hatch from Galactica, not Richard Hatch from Survivor. And Dirk Benedict from the original series together on a stage for Tomo Peniket. And I got straight. I know how to pronounce him. I talked to his agent, and she gave me the pronunciation. Together on a stage for one of the very few times since the original Battlestar Galactica ended. So, and also Kevin Sorbo will be there, Richard Picardo from Voyager, and several other people. So that'll be interesting. And there's also going to be a Battlestar Con itself in Burbank. And I believe that's coming up in June. I don't have the note here for some reason. I must have left it at work or somewhere. But anyway, let's see here. Sci-fi is when you see. Just when you thought it was safe to watch TV again, this is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Battlestar Galactica begins its march towards the April 1 season finale. If you haven't been watching intelligent and grossing space drama, you're truly missing out, yada, yada, yada. And actually, it's been a lot of good press. I was talking to Matt Rausch, who is a writer for the TV Guide, and he's completely into the show, and I keep asking him to come on, but I think he's afraid he might embarrass himself because he's so into the series. And but hopefully he's listening. And you know, also Maureen Ryan from the Chicago Tribune, and she's going to be on after the interview with Mr. Peniket. So I'll be ready for him. Is that correct? All right.
What are you doing?
Oh. Giving up my seat.
Like hell.
Civilian should take my place.
You're going.
Look at those clouds. Sharon, look at those clouds and tell me this isn't the end of everything.
Hilo.
Whatever future is left is going to depend on whoever survives. Give me one reason why I'm a better choice than one of the greatest minds of our time.
Hilo.
You can do this without me. I know you can. You've proven it.
By your command.
There you go. And joining us is Tomo Peniket. You there, sir?
I'm here, man.
Oh, can't hear him very well. Turn up? No? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you go. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, no problem. My pleasure. We get a little bit of bad reception here.
Oh, well. But can you hear me well or not at all?
I can hear you.
All right. And so where are you at? You're up in Canada?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver.
Very good. And welcome.
Yeah, I actually just got back last week from L.A.
Very good. And welcome to the program.
Great, yeah, it's my pleasure, man.
No problem. I went into Galactica here, I used to talk a lot about politics and current events. It's just I did one show as a favor to a relative of mine who was sick, and about Galactica, and it's been nonstop ever since. It's just amazing about the strength of the show and the fan base. Are you surprised as well?
Yeah, I'm absolutely surprised. I think more than anything, I'm just, you know, there was a lot of talk right after we did the pilot. You know, people were talking about the purists, you know, the original fan base from the original series and how they weren't very happy about the show being redone and what have you. But I mean, I think anyone can testify if you've seen the new series, it's great. It's absolutely faithful to the original series, but new and better.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, you yourself, I mean, you're kind of like in a spin-off show on the show itself. I mean, really, I mean, you're down on the planet and everything else. How's that feel? Like you're part of the show, but really you're off on your own show.
I love it. I remember last year when I got the call from Ron Moore, and he told me that, you know, his idea for the storyline, that they wanted to bring me back and what have you, because, you know, as far as I knew, I wasn't sure if I was coming back. I had other plans, you know, so I was basically looking for work in other places, and he called me back, said, look, we'd love to have you back on the show, and basically what's going on with your character, Hilo, is he's still on the planet, he survived, you know, post-nuclear holocaust, and these are the ideas I have. I was really excited about it. I kind of like the storyline. I think, you know, the audience must appreciate it, too, because kind of takes you out of the ship. Like, I remember when he first told me about it, it kind of made me think of almost like Star Wars, like Empire Strikes Back. You know, you'd be going up to the spaceships, and then you'd be cutting back to the planet. So it gives gives a little bit more of a diversity in the storyline.
Yeah, it gives a little break from all the drama and everything going on the Galactica itself in the fleet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a question in the chat room.
Oh, question
too.
In the chat room already? All right.
Well, I guess I think you already answered this. Were you surprised that they brought your character back?
Yeah. You know what? I was surprised, but at the same time, it made sense to me. I mean, the way they did it, and there's lots of different talk about it. I remember after the pilot was aired, a bunch of us flew down, a bunch of the Canadian cast flew from here in Vancouver down to LA, and we saw the pilot at the Directors Guild on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And that was a neat experience. But I mean, at that point, I still, I had no idea they were going to bring my character back. I didn't know if the show was going to go. At that point, everything's up in the air. So, I mean, when I did get the call, I was catching wind of it. I was surprised and happy.
Hmm. Now, you've been doing a lot of location shooting for your part of the show. How's that been?
It's great, man. Yeah. I mean, Vancouver's such a beautiful place. It's mm-hmm. picturesque. We've got ocean. We've got tons of rainforest. And, as you can see, Caprica, the planet, mm-hmm. on the show is, post-nuclear holocaust. So they've been staying pretty consistent with the rain and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Now, how's...
I'm usually wet pretty every episode. It's neat going to location all the time, too. I'm not stuck at the studio.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been... it's been fun.
Well, a lot of us are wet seeing Grace Park every week, but that's a different story. You know what I mean?
Say it again?
No, I said a lot of us are wet from seeing Grace Park every week, but that's a different story.
Yeah, that's a totally different story. Yeah, I'm the lucky guy who gets to act with her every week.
Yeah. You got that sex scene with her, too, that everybody was clamoring about.
This past week's episode, you finally realized she might be who she is.
Yeah, the light bulb went off and everything. Now, how does she work with? I mean, she's got a burden because she's basically doing two different roles.
I mean Grace's character is awesome. Grace as a person is the girl's fantastic. I love working with her. I'm always joking around because obviously that whole this last season we did, the first season, it's the Grace and Tomo show. Pretty much we're acting together every time. I haven't even worked with the rest of the cast since the pilot. So that's who I look forward to going back to. Yeah. Every time I do shoot, Grace is awesome, man. She's a very talented actress. She's very generous, and we have a great time. The first time we met was when we went to do the boot camp right before we started filming for the pilot, and we clicked right away. We knew we were supposed to be partners. We'd had none of us had actually read the script, I don't think, at that point, but we caught wind of what was going on, and we had a loose idea of the storyline, and we bonded from that point. So we've been good friends ever since.
Wow, very good. Now, I'm going to touch on your career a little bit, too. I don't want the whole interview to be about Galactica. I know I'm going to hurt a lot of the fans, but I mean, you've had quite a history, quite a career already. Are you impressed? Are you surprised at the success you've had so far?
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised. I've been blessed. I got to be honest with you. I worked my ass off to get where I'm at. I think the biggest choice that I made, the right choice that I made was, I did a lot of years of schooling, man. Like I've studied acting for a number of different years in a lot of different schools. And I think one thing I was hesitant about was sort of jumping into it before I was prepared. And, a couple of times I almost did, but then, I sort of knew inside I needed more training. It's one of those arts, you've got to train at it the rest of your life, obviously, especially mm-hmm. if you're not working consistently. But I think that was probably the best choice I made, so that when I actually did get representation and started going out and auditioning, I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, I must say you do have an excellent agent. I mean, she was really helpful and coordinating the interview and everything else. So you really have some great representation there.
Excellent. Yeah, Deb's awesome, man. Yes. She's great. She's a Taurus just like me. We have so much in common, man.
Really? I'm a Taurus too.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
When's your birthday?
May 17th.
May 17th. My sisters, I have twin sisters. They're May 18th. I'm May 20th.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, man.
I think we're going to get hit by lightning here or something. Now, what was your first role? Were you in school when you were bit by the bug to act? Or what finally made you decide, I'm going to go into acting, I'm going to be an actor?
Well, man, my father was he was a politician when I was younger, pretty much, through most of my youth, and a workaholic at that. So one thing we did whenever I did see him on the weekends and stuff, he'd always take me to films. My dad was an actor. His grandfather was an actor, too, when they're in university and stuff. So I think he definitely gave me an appreciation for good drama at a very young age. I'd go see these adult films, and I'd have to listen to him critique it and what have you. But I've always loved the cinematic experience, man. Just loved it. I mean, I've told the story a couple times, but I remember one of the first films that I ever saw with my dad, and I can't even remember how old I was. I'm not sure when Blade Runner came out, maybe 81 or something?
Yeah, 81, 81.
Yeah, so, you know, I was 5 or 6 at the time. And I saw that film, and it just made such a huge impression on me. I'm a sci-fi junkie. I've loved sci-fi ever since I was a kid, but, you know, it was probably one of the first experiences where I really loved it, and I haven't forgot about it ever since. And I think that gave me my first taste of it, and I remember thinking, I want to be part of this, you know.
I want to
be an actor. So I got into a theater program my last semester of high school. And you know, after that, I pretty much knew I wanted to do it. I scored a small bit role in a TV movie with Kate Jackson. That gave me another taste of it. And then after that, I was just, you know, I started studying pretty consistently.
So that's a follow up here. So were you a fan of the old Battlestar?
Well, you see, the most that I remember about the old Battlestar is the season where Starbucks on the planet with the Cylon.
I really
remember that. You know, once again, I was pretty young at the time, but yeah, I was a huge fan. I was obviously very young at the time, but I think most people can remember how big it was back then.
It was a huge show. I mean, actually, I think the episode you're talking about was one that aired in Galactica 1980, which was kind of like the bomb of the. I mean, nobody wants to remember that version of the show. But yeah, he was on the planet with the Cylon. He ended up calling it Psy, and he changed, you know, so the Cylon started talking with the British accent, I think, too, at the end of that show. I don't know. But
That's what I mean. You know what? I still remember, though. I remember crying when the Cylon died. I remember that affecting me majorly. You know, I was a little kid, and I remember the one episode where he finally dies or what have you. Starbuck has to go. It's so long ago, but I remember it just like, I think I cried for a couple of days about that. My buddies and I were pretty down.
Wow. And now you start up with your first role on TV was what, Dark Angel?
Dark Angel was one of my first roles. I think I had that.
Hello. Hello.
Glory Days. I think last one season.
Wow.
A.K. Hill, Poppy Montgomery, a few different. It was a young cast, yeah, but that's.
I think we're losing.
Only lasted for a little bit, but that was one of my first guest star roles.
Wow, and then you did Stargate SG-1, correct? Hello?
Yeah, I did. I did SG-1, mm-hmm. And that was a neat experience too. Worked with a great cast there. Played a replicator, somewhat of the same idea as the Cylon.
Very good. Did you have any scenes with Richard Dean Anderson?
Yeah, I did. Really? Yeah, I did. Well, it was a guest star role in that Stargate, so you know, we kind of costed or kidnapped Richard Dean. His team for a little while.
Do people now, not when the camera's shooting, of course, but offset, do people make like MacGyver jokes?
You know what, man? Richard Dean Anderson, this guy's been doing series forever. I mean, he's just a sight in Vancouver that everyone knows and sees and sort of expects, but yeah, people cracking MacGyver jokes all the time. But I mean, you know, Stargate's been on for so long now.
11 years.
They're going into the 9th season, aren't they?
I think it was 9 or 11. I thought it was 11.
Are you talking about the sci-fi version or the? Because I think Showtime had it for a season.
I think Showtime.
Really?
Yeah. Showtime.
That's where it debuted. Showtime, I think, had it for one season, and then sci-fi bought it.
Showtime started as a half-hour type of show. They did a two-parter type of deal.
Wow! Showtime, you guys would know better than me. That's amazing. I can't even imagine 11 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's been on. Yeah, I think 9 years on sci-fi, or it's been in syndication too. It's been all over the place. But
that show is
amazing.
Be around for a long
and then
time.
You did with the L Word with playing the sheriff, right?
That was a day gig on that, and that was fun. That was fun. I remember
Nikki Klein.
I never actually
that.
Got to see the part, but
really,
I remember working with the director, and he just kept on telling me to tone it down, tone it down, tone it down. Character, you know, the sheriff just was absolutely uninterested, and he just kept on telling me to bring it down. Man, it was kind of funny. I think about 8 takes on that.
Really? Now Nikki Klein was in an episode too, I believe.
Pardon me?
Nikki Klein was in that episode as well, because she was
man. It was funny. I went to set. I didn't expect to see her, and I went in there, and she was in the makeup trailer.
Wow. Wow. They needed Smallville. You played Vince in, with that Resurrection about a year ago, right?
Mm.
So you've been all over. I mean, Smallville, that's the Superman episode. Did you like that, working with all of them, John Schneider and all of them? And, he's pretty famous down here from Bo Duke, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I got to meet the man briefly. Didn't actually get to share any scenes with him. But yes, Smallville was a good gig, man. I liked it. You know, it was interesting. It was a lot of makeup, man. I was getting airbrushed for like 3 hours every morning, 5 a.m. I'd roll on in there, and the makeup girl would be just spraying me down. You know, I died about 3 or 4 different times on the show and was brought back to life. So they had to get a different color of jaundice and death and life color on me every day.
Wow. How's that? I mean, going from the director for a specific scene, does he tell you, I want you to react like this? I mean, is it really up to you to pull out of yourself, or you rely on the director to pull out what he wants out of the scene?
Like, you're talking specifically about Smallville?
Well,
like
any role. Well, any role, really. I mean, if they say, I want you to react, maybe on Galactica, where they have a lot of the silence, which you don't see, you know, he tells you, I want you to react to this. I mean, how is it being motivated by by the directors?
Well, I mean, obviously, it really depends on the director, right? Oh. I mean, I think once you get a little bit more experience, you've been there a little bit longer, obviously the director respects you a little bit more, and he can work with you. And hopefully you have a director who knows how to talk to an actor. I mean, we've been blessed on Battlestar with Michael Reimer. The guy's brilliant. This is a director who went and took 2 years of Meisner training, two years of the foremost best acting training recognized in the world, with the intention of still being a director. He did that just so he could communicate to his actors better. He did that years ago when he was a young man. And so Michael, as most of the cast will tell you, He can really communicate with the actors. He can bring out a great performance. I mean, you know, obviously we come in with our ideas. You want to come in prepared, have some options, hopefully you have a trust relationship with the director, and he's saying, okay, look, this is where we want to go. You're on the right track, or you're not on the right track. Let's try it this way, and you can play around a little bit.
Now, what's the history with your first name? A lot of people are asking, where's your first name come from? Does it come from a relative, or?
Yeah, my first name, I'm named after my great uncle. And my mother is First Nation, as I guess you guys would call Native American down there.
Very good.
And I was born and raised in the Yukon, right beside Alaska. I lived there till about, I was about 19. So I've lived in BC the last 8 or 9 years. And so my first name is First Nation, Native American, and it's Upper Canada specifically. It's the Athabascan language group, so it's right along the Alaskan-Yukon border.
Wow.
And then my my father is British, hence my lovely white skin, and that's the last name, Pennicott. Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Your dad was the premier of the Yukon, correct?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He did that for I think like 8 years, a couple terms.
Wow, very good. He wasn't. His name wasn't Sergeant Preston, was it? Do you remember that show?
No, it wasn't Sergeant Preston.
You remember that show? I don't know if you remember it. I might be aging myself, but there's a show called.
You might be.
Yeah, exactly. I remember hearing about it. I never saw that show, though, man.
It was classic, though. It was like, I think Robert Goulet was playing the Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. He always came in with his... I'm serious. He came in with his dogs and always managed to save the day at some little disaster. It was, it was all right,
It was all right. Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing... I saw a poster a little while ago. It's funny enough. I think I saw it in L.A., man, the last 2 months ago. I don't know why I saw it or where I saw it, but I saw it. I was like, Sergeant Preston...
I think they're bringing it back. I think they're bringing in some different version of that show. They're bringing it back.
There's a couple questions through the chat room I want to get to real quick.
Sure, man.
One is from Expert. He says, will you be returning next season?
Oh. Yeah, do you have a contract for next season?
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
very
done. Just recently taken care of, so coming back, and I'm really excited about it.
And the other question is, who is a better kisser, Trisha or Grace?
Oh, Jesus. How dare you guys ask me
that? No, there's your TV guy.
I won't even go there, man. I'll tell you this. I'm a lucky man to have kissed either and both of those women.
Look, I envy you since you did, but that was just a question from Cardigale or Cardiga 2 from the chat room. So they just wanted to...
Well, make sure when you're kissing them, you got to slip them a lot of tongue, right?
Pardon me?
When you're kissing them, make sure you got to slip them a lot of tongue.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was doing.
And let's see. Nerd question. What would be your choice for a lady to work with, an actress? Your ideal actress to work with.
Oh, geez, man. I mean, come on. There's so many greats out there. You know what? I sometimes see some of the greats like Meryl Streep or, a couple weeks ago, Laura Linney, she's doing a film here in Vancouver, and I got to see her speak at my acting school. She came there and did a Q&A for about a couple hours. That woman is incredible, too. I'd love to work with her. I mean, there's so many greats. Susan Sarandon, Meryl Streep, Laura Linney. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on, man. Younger cast. Angelina Jolie, man. The other day I watched Gia again. I hadn't seen that for years. that girl is talented, man. And on top of that, she's, you know, she's stunningly beautiful, but she's a great actress.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Sean asks this pretty much to every guest he's had on. I'm surprised he hasn't asked yet, but do you watch your own shows?
Do you watch your own work?
Do I watch my own work?
Yes.
Absolutely, when I can. You know, it's funny, man. When you're first starting out, you read interviews and stuff. I remember being in an interview before I got my first gig about Harrison Ford, and he's like, I never watch my stuff. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, how could you never watch your stuff? I mean, that's, you put everything into it. Why wouldn't you watch your stuff? But it's funny, once you start working regularly, sometimes it's not that acceptable. Like, I know there's a few TV gigs out there that I haven't seen yet. I'd love to see. But I haven't seen yet. I think you can learn a lot from it, man. I'm going to make a point this year of, you know, especially if I do get back to the studio, just to watch some of the dailies and stuff.
Mm. Now, another question is, what was your family's reaction to you going to acting? Did they say, like, are you nuts or what? You know, what did they say when you were saying, I'm going to be an actor?
Well, you know what, man? I used to get teased a lot about it, you know, just from friends and family and stuff in school. They'd be like, okay, you're going to be an actor. You got to be an actor, what have you. I was such a little, I was just a little punk in high school. Anyway, I always messed around. I was too busy with my social life anyway. I think my parents were happy that I was just going to concentrate on anything.
True.
I talked pretty passionately about it once I got out of school. I went traveling for a couple of years, went to Southeast Asia, Mexico and stuff right after I graduated, which was a smart thing. I wasn't ready for college yet.
Wow.
Came back, did a couple of years of college, still with the intention of getting into acting seriously, just taking classes on the side. And then I think after a couple of years of college, I just told my parents, I'm like, look, I want to concentrate on this. This means a lot to me, and this is what I want to do. And they've both been really supportive. My mother was very supportive, as was my father.
Well, congratulations. And what's your fantasy role? I know some people have sent me messages that they think you should play the next James Bond and all that. What kind of role would you want to play?
Oh, really? Well, that's a huge compliment, man. I'd love to get a role like James Bond. I don't know, man. I love gritty dramas. I love suspense. You know, there's so many roles I'd love to play. Harrison Ford's career, you know, in the beginning, like, it's just great. You know, like, I mean, Blade Runner, to this day, I've said it 1,000 times. I've been asked this lots, but definitely one of my favorite films. Love the character. Brad Pitt in Seven. I really like some of the character work and, you know, deep dramas, like, you know what's great is when you see an actor get that dream role. That role was written for him. It's amazing. The other day, I watched Eric Bana and Chopper. Have you guys ever seen that?
No.
Okay, we'll put it on the list, man.
Oh,
independent
really?
Australian film. It's amazing.
What's
Eric Bana, you know, he's since become quite famous because of Troy and the Hulk and what have you. But this, he plays this crazy sort of biker murderer in there, and you can see why the guy got famous after this. Just an incredible character role, man. Awesome movie.
What was
Chopper?
It called?
Chopper?
Chopper, yeah.
Chopper?
Oh. Just Chopper.
Yeah.
Chopper.
Hey, you know, Harrison Ford did a couple, at least one war movie before he did, like, in the 70s. I forgot the name of the movie. Something to Navarone.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember in the beginning of Apocalypse Now, where the CIA, the top general in the CIA, are sort of briefing Martin Sheen on his mission to kill Marlon Brando?
Uh-huh.
Harrison Ford's got this little bit part in there, and he's just a kid, man.
Really?
Yeah, he's got...
Wow, he
looks all of 120 pounds with a little skinny Adam's apple and wearing glasses, but he's got a part in there, and that's got to be one of his first roles.
And that same movie that I was telling you, I forgot the name, is something to Navarone.
Guns of Navarone.
Okay, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers is in that, don't
Carl
know.
Weathers, I mean, you'd be surprised where these actors get their start. I mean, Brad Pitt, I remember him on Dallas. He was on Dallas years ago.
Yeah, there you go, man. I used to watch Dallas. I was a CBC kid. That's the kind of like the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know if you know it, but it's the one channel. When I was in my household, we didn't have cable. I was, you know, the only cable shows I ever got to watch is when I went to friends' houses. So when I was raised, but one show that CBC had bought was Dallas. I remember watching that with my mother when I was a kid. I remember actually seeing Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he was in the later seasons with Priscilla Presley.
On Friends, what's her name? Jennifer Aniston?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what movie I saw her in?
No.
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun, there you
she
go.
She was in that movie. I was like, wow.
Now, a question for the camera. What do you like most and like least about working on Galactica?
Like most. Well, you know what? I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm loving the action sequences. It's great, man.
Really?
The least is probably the rain.
I got to do most of my own stunts this year, and that was a lot of fun.
Hmm. And then the least, really, do you have any, you know, probably not interacting with the rest of the cast a lot, huh? That probably had to be a kind of a downer, huh?
Or the rain.
Sorry, cut out there. The least.
Yeah, the least probably for you, but would it be like not working with the rest of the cast?
You know, that have to be it, man. I'm really looking forward to working with the rest of the cast. Like, I mean, you know, Ever James Almost, Mary McDonald, like those two leads in particular. I mean, everybody in the cast is awesome, super talented. I think that's one thing about this show is that it was cast so well. You know, like, you know, people like Aaron Douglas, he is that role. He is the chief. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's been cast perfectly. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, sharing a scene with some of the heavyweights, man. Mary McDonald, I mean, Ever James Almost, Michael Hogan. Come on, give me a break. These guys are, been in the business for tons of years, and they're so talented, man. I can't wait to get into it with them.
Yeah. Do you kind of feel like outcasted here because you don't get to perform with anyone except for one person?
No, not outcasted at all, man. I take it as a compliment that I got my own storyline going on the show, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, hopefully I'll get back to the ship eventually. Maybe not. Maybe they'll come and see me on the planet. Who knows? I'm not sure what's going to happen with the storyline here, but I'll get to act with these guys sooner or later.
Yeah, you could set up a hotel, be like a Fantasy Island or something, you know?
That's right. You know, I can have, I don't know what I can do. I can, start a little Cylon family, or who knows what's going on.
Now,
set up the resistant movement on the planet.
There you go. Like War of the Worlds. I remember that War of the Worlds was a series a few years back, and they had a little a revolt.
Movement. It was like late 80s. And what's his name? The guy that took over the Highlander series when I forgot his name though.
Oh yeah.
The same guy.
War of the Worlds, and also had that guy from Dallas was on there. He played Dusty Farlow on Dallas. He was Jared Martin was on there. So
that's right. You know what, you guys just made me think of another role that would be a dream role. Another example of an actor just absolutely embodying a role was, I saw Paul Newman in HUD. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, I bought that the other day and watched that. Man, that man's, he's brilliant.
Paul Newman, yeah.
That performance was killer.
Yeah, his salad dressing isn't bad either. Yeah, neither is his popcorn right now.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah, now, are you going to be comfortable to say Galactica runs 7 years? I mean, are you okay with being pretty much identified as Hilo?
Well, you know, the show's doing great, man. I take it as a huge compliment. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys that try and stay as present as I can, man. I'm not looking too far ahead in the future, but what I'm doing right now is I'm doing this series, and you know, apparently it's doing really well, and people are happy with it, man. And I'm really happy doing the character right now, so we're going to go with it as long as we can. I'll tell you this. I read the first two episodes of this new season recently, and, man, I could not put them down. I am so excited. They're killer. They're so good.
Now, I don't want to give anything away, but have you given any thoughts, like any backstory for your character?
I definitely made some strong choices, you know, right from the jump, right from when I read the first script. You know, that's part of your job as an actor, man. I made some choices, and whether they conflict with the writers or not in the future here, if they give a little bit more backstory to Hilo, we'll figure that out then. But I've got a pretty good idea who this guy is, but you know, at the same time, you're always discovering him, right, as you go along.
True.
Writers are always, but one thing about the show is, you know, we don't get the scripts too far beforehand, you know, with exception of the fact that we're, you know, we've got the first two scripts for starting off, but after that, once the season is actually going, it's like you usually get it, you know, just right before us. So you're studying that lines, and you got to go with it. The writers are constantly dropping surprises on us.
I'm sure. Have you got any ideas why they came up with giving your the name give you the name Hilo?
I think it means ice in Spanish.
Oh, very good.
So it's
very
like
good.
Iceman.
Iceman, huh?
Well, you do kind of have that look. You've got that stern look.
Well, the eyes, probably, huh? You think?
Yeah, man, maybe. All that tension in the forehead, eh?
No, I mean, just saying, ice, you know. Ice.
Well, no, he's got this stern look.
Stern look.
He's just got this very, like you could be a very good serial killer, maybe.
Well, there you go, man. Maybe we'll get a twist this year. He'll be a little nuts.
You'll turn out to be a Cylon as well or something.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think so, man.
Now,
I've had my pitter-patter broken by a Cylon right now, so.
I guess that one scene you did it when you came up and you had the toaster going with cooking, making the toast for Boomer. That was classic. Everybody was roaring about that. But you know, because the toasters, you know, harken back to the old show. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Did y'all make the like? Oh, gee, here you are making a little, you know, little laugh at the old series. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Well, exactly. We'd been using the toaster toaster one just around with each other for a while. So I think Aaron Douglas even says it in. He says Cylon. He says Cylon. But yeah, no, I think we'd heard the term used a couple times, man. But it's good, you know. It's a little respect for the old series. It was funny.
I think when Aaron Douglas, I had him on. I think he said he doesn't even go near a toaster anymore.
He said what?
I think Aaron Douglas, I had him on about 8 weeks ago, and he said he doesn't go near a toaster anymore. Now, looking out like 5-10 years, where do you see your career going?
Where do I see my career going?
Yeah, do you want to act? Do you want to direct?
You know what, man? In the last couple of years, I've really been thinking about it, just being on set a lot. I mean, I look forward to directing. I really do. I'm actually I'm working on a short right now, just with some friends, writing a script. You know, it's in the very beginning stages, but I think I'm gonna try my hand at it this summer if I can. Just any free time that I have, maybe try and get this short done. You know, actually concentrating on it. You know, it's gonna be years down the road for sure. If I ever had the opportunity to do some, maybe one of the episodes, I think I would jump on it. But you know, it's one of those things, man. You know, you want to know and really know what you're doing. I think I need a lot more experience before I'd ever take a real crack at it. But 5 years down the road, man, I hope we'll be doing the same thing, man. I really love to act. It's a dream come true. I'm living the dream right now. A lot of times I wake up and I'm like, damn, kid, you're doing it. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, and eventually I'd really like to do some film.
There you go.
Now the opportunity, you know, the film genre, man, you know, taking a story in a two-hour period or what have you, going from beginning to end, it kind of attracts me for sure.
Yeah, especially like a role like James Bond. I mean, it's a tailor-made role. I mean, you know, the action and the story. I mean, would you be up to be James Bond?
Oh, I'd love to be James Bond. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'd be great. I grew up on James Bond. Same thing, you know. I think those are some of the movies my dad would take me to too. You know, no matter what, my dad likes his gritty dramas. But he's British at heart, man. He lived there till he was 12 years old.
Wow.
He was born in Birmingham.
Here's like
so we were always seeing the Bond movies.
Here's like just a question, not very off the wall, but say this director George Lucas came to you and. Of course, we're talking backtracking
George
here.
George Lucas, who's that?
Yeah, and he's coming out with his movie Star Wars. What role would you want to play in that movie?
What role would I want to play?
Yeah, would
in
you
movie?
Like to? I mean, would you like to be more of like a Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, or?
I definitely want to be a Han Solo, man. You guys heard me talk about Harrison Ford already.
Yeah,
definitely
want
to be a Harrison, you know, Han Solo. Han Solo's character is awesome, man.
Yeah.
He's definitely my favorite as a kid.
Yeah, so you're hooked on Star Wars. You're gonna go see the last movie when it comes out in May.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, it's sad to see it come to an end. But I mean, and George Lucas, he's just some old hack, isn't he?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and then Harrison Ford. I'm from Chicago. He's from Chicago. I mean, it's nice that they, you know, he tries to give as much back as he can to the industry.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I mean, it's just incredible. And then, especially with, like, Edward James Olmos. I mean, here you are. You watched Blade Runner as a kid. Now you're on a show with him. It has to be pretty incredible, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've told this story before, man, but, like, when I went to the cast read-through, the very first one, I had no idea who was connected with the project other than another couple Vancouver actors who I heard were doing it. I did the audition. I got the word, like, 8 days later. You've got the part. Here's the read-through. Come in. So I was downstairs with a few friends right before we went upstairs at Lionsgate Studios here in Vancouver, and I watched Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell walk by, and I was just so surprised. I was blown away. I was like, don't tell me they're on the show. They're on the show. And people were like, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's always everybody I've had on Aaron Douglas and Nikki Klein. They've all said it's just, you know, they're so impressed having to be on the show with those two as the leads. I mean, it's got to be an incredible feeling, huh?
It is, man. You know, I'll tell you, one thing about those two is they provide a wicked example as to what leads should be. You know, just with their experience, they're always professional on set. They're always in good spirits. They're always very positive. Every time I see Eddie, he's got good things to say. He's very complimentary, and it's genuine too. And the same with Mary, man. I mean, the first time even on the pilot, we never really got to work together, but I remember we went to a cast dinner, and she sat there with me, and we had the most intense and beautiful conversation for 40 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is the real deal. She's the real, you know, she's the real, real person, man.
Yeah. One more question for the chat room, and then we'll wrap it up. What was your favorite scene from season one?
What was my favorite
scene from season one?
Favorite scene? Oh, geez, that's a hard question, man.
Hmm.
Hard question. You know, action-wise,
yeah.
Loving shooting at Cylons and diving over counters and having pots drop on my head and stuff like that. That's great.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Did you start season two shooting yet or no?
Not yet.
Pardon me?
You don't start the next season until the end of the month, right?
Yeah, end of the month. I think they're officially starting. I got some dates today. I'll be starting in a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks here. I can't wait to get started, but it's going to be a little bit.
And you're going to that gay con up there as well, right, in Vancouver?
Yeah, that's right. I'll be doing the gay con conference.
Yeah, how do you feel about those things? I mean, I've been to a few of them here, the Star Trek things, and boy, the fans actually come dressed up like the characters. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I keep on hearing about it. People are telling me how serious these fans can be and what have you. I mean, I gotta respect it, I guess. That's it. I haven't done it though, so I can't really make a comment on it. I'll tell you this, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting the fans and doing the conference, but I've never actually been to one, so
really?
You'll
never forget it. I'm telling you this, you'll never forget it.
Was it a few weeks ago whoever were interviewing, I can't remember who, I apologize for that, but something about, because he's talking, someone in the chat room reminded me about the love scene.
Oh yeah, yep. With you and Sharon, and y'all are supposed to be using a pad in between yous, and y'all weren't using it or something.
Is that what you guys heard?
Yeah, some patch. Actually,
they gave you like a pad or something to put between you two,
exactly.
But then you put it on the ground or something like that.
One of you guys have been reading Maxim article.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's where
great this article, Maxim. I keep on hearing about this. I still haven't read it myself, man. I saw some of the pictures though.
Oh,
wow.
Yes,
it's incredible as always. Yeah, I'm not saying anything about the pad. We're gonna leave that up to the imagination.
Seriously, I mean, yeah, good. That's where we got that from, the Maxim article. And,
is that what it was from?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway. Now, any words? Do you have a website? A lot of people are asking if you have a website.
You know what? I personally don't have a website, man. I should have got on it. Another friend of mine a couple years ago, I remember when I started my this Canadian cop series that I did first season, Cold Squad. I did that actually just right after I finished the pilot of Battlestar, and she's like, you have to do your own website. Like, get on it. You know, take care of it. You know, there's going to be people wanting to check out things and finding out about you and what have you. I never did get around to it. Someone told me the other day that they were Googling my name and they found a fan site with my name on it, what have you. I don't know, but I personally don't have a website, no.
Yeah, I found that out as well. There's somebody on I have a blog for my show, and then there's apparently a fan site blog for you as well. So, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have the address offhand, but yeah, if you search for yourself, you'll pull it up. I mean,
I'll have to check that out.
So, Tom, before we let you go, any words for the fans before we say goodbye?
You know what? Like I said, man, I'm not going to tell you anything about these first two episodes, but I read them. Biased or not, they are killer. I am so excited. Be prepared to get caught up in some of the characters, get some real backstory happening with some of the senior characters, man. Wow. And these first two episodes, we're going to have an awesome series and an awesome season, man. I'm looking forward to it. So everybody stay tuned. Thanks for being supportive. And, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Well, thank you. Tomo, thank you for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Guys, it was great.
No problem. And good luck to you in your career, and I hope to have you on again.
Absolutely,
right.
Man. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And that was Tomo Pennicott. There you go. There's a scene from Battlestar Galactica.
Sharon, where are you?
There you go. Oop.
Sharon, we've made it this far. We're going to make it all the way.
All right.
Damn straight, all the way. We're doing good. Real good. Hey, someone must be watching out for us.
Very good, very good. And there's another one in there.
Food. Medical supplies.
Hey, wait a minute. Signal.
Oh. Disaster beacon. It's been set to go off if there was an attack.
Some poor Slav goes through all the trouble building a fallout shelter, socks it, has a beacon, the whole plan. Then what? What happens to him?
Okay. We'll just call ourselves lucky and leave it at that.
Wow, some scenes. I want to thank Blade Runner for providing us with those sound bites for the series, and because I got put some NFC.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, this is Maureen.
Oh, hi, Maureen. How are you?
Hey, you know what? You're coming in real faint. Can I call you back? I can barely hear
you. Okay, if you want to. Okay.
Yeah, I'll call you in a minute.
All right, thank you. And anyway, it's Maureen Narayan. She's the one of the television writers for the Chicago Tribune, and she'll be calling back in just a moment. Anyway, it was great hearing from him. I mean, seriously, I've gotten a lot of emails for questions. I think I'd have like 100 questions if I were to read them all. He'd be here for 2 hours. But he's done a remarkable job on that, his segment of the show. I mean, it's a show within the show, because you got the what's going on in the Galactica and the fleet, and they got what's going on in Caprica. I mean, it takes a good actor to be able to pull all that off. I mean, basically he's holding up a half of the show. I mean, basically just him and Boomer, and then that's it. I mean, for those first couple episodes, he was down there by himself. So I think we're joined by Maureen. There you go. Maureen Ryan, are you there?
I'm here.
There you go. Can you hear us better?
I can barely hear you. I think I'm going to start streaming the broadcast again. Then maybe I can hear you better.
Oh, you think so? All right.
Actually, you know what? I think there's a delay.
Oh, there's a delay. Yeah, you have to...
Let me just turn my phone up 1 second.
All right.
Ah, that's much better.
Ah, very good, very good.
Sorry about that.
No, it's no problem.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Once again, this is Maureen Ryan. She's one of the television writers for the Chicago Tribune, and we had her on last week for a few minutes, and I asked her if she'd come back this week to talk about the show. Now, what did you think of last week's episode, The Colonial Day? I thought it was an excellent episode.
I thought it was really good. Yeah. I actually was emailing with David Weddle, one of the writers, for an upcoming piece, and he said that Tom Zarek is definitely going to be back, and... Mm. Better than ever next season. So wow. I think it's pretty cool to see Richard Hatch kind of worked into the show and become such a integral part of it. So it's kind of cool.
Wow. And well, I thought that the episode was very, a lot of people were saying, oh, it didn't have a lot of action or anything. I just saw it was a great way to build up to the cliffhanger.
Oh, exactly. I think I mean, the great thing for me is that the show is a great mix. You mm-hmm. know, it's not just one thing or the other. Personally for me, action is great, but if there's no character development and no good stories, then it kind of leaves me cold after a while.
Really? And then I like that whole drama with the presidential vote. And what about Baltar being the vice president? It came out of nowhere.
He kills me. I think he's my favorite character on the show. He's just, got a million surprises, and he's kind of, I think to everyone else seems fairly nuts. So.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
I know. I mean, I was surprised. They had that. First of all, they had that first vice president. It looked like Bill O'Reilly on there with Rosalynn. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but the guy looked just like Bill O'Reilly. And then,
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. And then they started to show that colonial gang is like a slap at the Capital gang or something like that on
that
CNN.
Was very funny.
Yeah. And then I like how they all said, "Oh, here's one of the last surviving great journalists of our time."
Yeah. it always surprises me that on the fleet there are as many journalists. Like they'll show press conferences, and I'm like, man, there's a whole lot of press there. I think it's like 10% of the ship's populations are reporters.
Reporters. Well, don't forget in the miniseries they're on the Galactica for the decommissioning, so that
that's
explains
right.
why
yeah,
all that press is on there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, I like the whole and then that Cloud Nine ship. I mean, I like how slowly they're unveiling all these different ships in the fleet.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I think maybe next season they'll have more money to build even more. more sets.
I would hope so. I would hope they give them. I imagine if they're getting another season, they're looking up their budget, on the show. And then LV Rocks are on the fleet ship Purgatory, aren't we?
Exactly.
Yeah, Cloud Nine. This is Purgatory now. But I mean, it's just and then the whole thing with the vote, and then Baltar was in there in that bathroom with that reporter when Rosalynn came walking in.
Yeah.
I thought that was classic too. How she kind of peeked her head around.
I think, where was it that I read? I think it was maybe on Ron Moore's blog that he was incredibly proud that, for once on a sci-fi show, they showed a bathroom.
There you go, yeah. Twice now they've shown the bathroom, a stall.
Exactly.
And then Baltar went in there to finish having sex with that reporter. And then
very clean bathrooms, I might add.
Yes, spotless and nice music playing, too.
Nothing but the best.
No, it reminds me of the old Vegas hotels here back in the 70s. You always played this nasty old elevator music in the bathroom and everything. It's a spitting image of the bathrooms in these casinos back in the 70s.
Well, there's quite a party going on in that bathroom all the time.
Yeah, you bring a condom in the bathroom with you.
Yeah, really, always bring... bring supplies.
Now, and then that the one guy that was killed, you know, a lot of people were saying that, oh, Zarek told Roslyn he didn't kill him. So I wonder if she had him killed or maybe Adama had him killed, huh?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to come. I mean, I think that's what's great about the show. They're setting up so many different layers, mm-hmm. and you really don't... To me, what Ron Moore seems to be hinting at is that you would think the obvious setup would be that Adama would be the more, you know, hardcore person about, you know, civil liberties and government, and would be more, maybe, I don't want to call it right or left wing, but more militaristic, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you would think that Roslyn would be perhaps the more laissez-faire person, but it seems to be, in a way, they're setting up a different dynamic where, you know, it's not, you know, he's not necessarily... He might be more into, like, the civil liberties and sort of paying attention to the rules of government than maybe even she is. I mean, it's hard to tell at this point who's, mm-hmm. who's on the side of the angels, which is kind of a great gray area to be in.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to go where she's going to be more of the hard-nosed type of a person. And
I think you're right, and yeah. I think, you know, I think that's a great conversation to have. I mean, I think our country is having that conversation now. Like,
there
in the
go.
Face of danger, what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, for Ron, I mean, it seems like that's really what he wanted to create, was a format to explore
mm-hmm.
ideas about, you know, how we organize society and freedom and, you know, versus security.
Yeah. Now, you were talking to the writers. I don't want to give anything away, but, I mean, it sounds like they're playing for at least the first two episodes would be really huge episodes, huh?
Yeah. David Weddle and Bradley Thompson are writing both of them. They are really good writers. I've just really liked everything they've done on Battlestar, and they also used to write for a show that I'm very fond of, Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
There you
so
go.
It's going to be a huge two-parter, mm-hmm. and, you know, we've been emailing back and forth a little bit, and it sounds like things are going to be very touchy for Commander Adama. You know, it's touch mm-hmm. and go as far as his health
yes.
or his survival, and Lee Adama obviously has some serious problems right now, given that, you know, things are not going to go his way as the season winds down.
Wow. And then so. And Ty and everything, it's just the cast is, it seems like the really, you know, Ty's going to be, you know, and his wife. I mean, she was in and out of that episode last week as well.
Yeah.
I thought that
yeah.
was classic, too, where she's scheming to get to her husband, maybe to be the commander of the Galactica.
Well, Ty might get a promotion before he thinks he, you know what I mean? Not necessarily a permanent one, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be his test, I think, next season, is if yeah. he can step up and.
Take the man. Now, what did you think of that ending scene when they're all dancing around? I thought that was great.
That was terrific.
Yes.
I thought that was so great.
Showing
you know,
the cast having some fun. And then
to me, that really showed that the cast seems to have real chemistry. You know,
mm-hmm.
they really, you know, I don't know if they're hanging out together in their off hours. You guys would know that better than me. But there was just a great vibe to it. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't like they were acting like they were having a good time.
Yeah, and and I liked how really Adama really wasn't in this episode very much, but he shows
right.
up at the end. He kind of startles Roslyn, and you know, and he asks her to dance and everything. I thought that was nice too. I mean,
that was great.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be the main star of every episode, which I like. I mean, you know,
God, can you just deal with a show that doesn't make the starship captain or the
mm-hmm.
you know the one person
yeah.
the whole focus of the show?
It's great.
It's just there are almost too many.
Mm-hmm.
characters that you'd like to see more about, you know?
Yeah, I said it before with all the other stars I've interviewed that there's been episodes where, like Chief Tyrell, Aaron Douglas, he's had more lines than Adama, or, you know, it's like him and Mary McDonnell don't demand that, you know, we should be in every other scene,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, I remember when Falcon Crest was in its heyday, somebody told me that there was a clause in Jane Wyman's contract. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a rumor I heard it, that she had to be in every third scene on Falcon Crest.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Shatner.
I think, you know, there are a lot of TV actors, I think, who feel the opposite, that once
mm-hmm.
you do have a gig and, you know, it continues for some time, I mean,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people leave shows because they're working 16 hours a day, and, you know, that's
yeah.
no way to live, you know, it's... maybe it's a better pace as an actor if you're not, you know, if you're in, you know, half the scenes or a third of them or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like with Shatner, I remember, somebody said him or Lee Nimoy had to have the last word in every episode. I mean, some of the stuff is just nuts. I don't know how big you are, but watching that, which one was that when Spock died? The Search for Spock. His name came up first, and there was this big delay before DeForest Kelly's name came up. I'm like, that is ridiculous. I mean, you know, his name should have came up right after Shatner's, but oh no, you know, there was a delay, and for to bring
oh
up.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure, I
bet the negotiations for all that went on for months.
I guess. I mean, I just think I like the way that they're all sharing the lines. They're not demanding to be the big stars of the show, you know.
Yeah, and to me, that actually, I don't know if it's a con, you know, maybe that's just the way that Ron Moore writes, but I really, again, just to probably bring up a show that no one wants to hear about, but Deep Space Nine mm-hmm. really had that. I mean, by the last couple seasons of Deep Space Nine, you had entire episodes carried by guest actors, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. where the main staff of the ship was in it for, like, you know, 20% of it. I mean, it was like they had developed such a rich universe that yeah. various characters could get a spotlight put on them and carry a whole episode, and it was still really good and interesting.
Now, have you picked up the TV guide?
I did.
And which one did you get?
I did not. I got the Crossing Jordan, which I'm very
irritated
about. Oh, no. I'm going to have to go to the newsstand and buy the Battlestar one.
You better. I think they might be gone, because I went to the newsstand today, and the Galactica ones are all gone. I got the next week's up.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. Because I bought four of them, so if you really need one, I could send you one.
You're sweet. I'm going to harass the sci-fi publicist and make her send me.
Oh, she doesn't send me nothing. I know her, too.
Well, who knows? We'll see what actually happens.
No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, have any articles coming up about the series that we should be watching
actually,
out for?
Yeah, the day of the finale, I have this email Q&A session going on with David Weddle and Bradley Thompson, mm-hmm. who are writing the first couple episodes of next season, and as well as some additional episodes in season two. So that's going to go on my site right after the finale finishes, mm. Central Time, which will be 10 p.m. Central Time, so whatever that is for everyone else.
Okay.
I'm going to post it all that night. It's going to be a fairly extensive email dialogue just talking about where things go in season two. So
mm. Is that the Tribune's website?
Yeah, chicagotribune.com/watcher.
There you go.
W-A-T-C-H-E-R. That's my blog, which is updated two or three times a week, and I can try to give you guys a heads up as well. You know, give you a shout by email and tell you
please.
When it's up.
Please, yeah, I have a blog too. Mine's subject2 and then discussion.com.
Great.
And but this show is just incredible. I mean, I started doing this as a fluke like 9-10 weeks ago now, and it's been pretty much nonstop. I mean, just the popularity of Galactica is just through the roof.
Yeah, and what's great, I did an article a couple weeks ago when Hand of God mm-hmm. was on with the day that was going to be aired, and my whole point with that was, you know, don't not watch this show because you don't think you like sci-fi, mm-hmm. because it's really, to me, it's just a drama with a great cast and great mm-hmm. stories, and it happens to be set in sort of a partly military future. You know, I mean, this is something that bugs me about how people view sometimes what's termed genre shows. They don't really view it as good storytelling. They just view it as, oh, it's, you know, bumpy-headed aliens and stuff. And I think Ron Moore is taking the show in such a smart direction and had so many thoughtful ideas about what to do with it that would be like saying, well, I don't watch a medical drama, so I won't watch ER. Mm. You know, well, a good show transcends its genre.
Yeah, which is what Galactica is doing. I've been emailing back and forth with Matt Roush from the TV Guide.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he won't come on, though, because I guess Wednesdays is his big TV night to watch TV.
Okay.
But it's all right. But I mean,
he's a huge fan. He's been boosting the show a lot.
Oh, he has, yeah. And I've been telling him that, to me, it feels like Galactica feels like Dallas in its heyday. You know, just, you know, the magazines are coming out. You got the TV Guide.
To me, it feels like this is what happened with X-Files in Season 3.
You know,
suddenly it was on the cover of EW,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it was really breaking through. And to me, it's terrific that this is happening in season one, and I have just incredibly high hopes that it's going to get to be, you know, get even more attention as things go forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cable show, you know what I mean? I see if it's on.
But to my mind, yeah. You know, to my mind, a lot of the best work right now on television is being done on cable. I'm never going to say there's no good TV on the big six networks, mm-hmm. because that's not true, but a lot of the most creative people in the industry are going to pitch their shows to cable companies because they know that a cable network has to do something really bold in order to get attention and break through the clutter, you know, like with The Shield, or with Rescue Me, you know, or Monk. You have to kind of do something different. You can't mm-hmm. just do what the networks are doing or no one will care. You know, you have yeah. to do really bold, good work, and that's the way to get attention as a cable network.
Now, before we really go, did the writers say how are they doing with the 20-episode order?
They're working hard.
Yeah, were they overwhelmed with it?
Well, I actually asked about that. I asked because I wasn't sure if they had known ahead of time that the episode order was going to be for 20 episodes. Mm-hmm. And let me just
because you know it was 13 this season.
They didn't know how many episodes Sci-Fi was going to order. They had started writing six, mm-hmm. but they didn't know what the total would be. Mm-hmm. But they already had some ideas about what those six first episodes would be, and then they just sort of expanded on that and, you know, are going to go forward from there. Huh. But definitely getting 20 episodes was a huge boon.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work, too.
I just say, I'm almost ready to have quality over quantity. I mean, if the show can be as good as this first season with 13 episodes, I'd rather have the 13 than having 20 episodes and have seven of them be
but
kind
I
of...
But I think, you know, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before, you know, mm-hmm. Colonial Day maybe didn't have as much action. Mm-hmm. Hand of God has some great action sequences. You know, I mean, I think to me, if they can mix it up and have differently paced episodes where maybe one is... more personally based, like active contrition. Mm-hmm. Other ones are much more action-oriented. You know, I mean, I think this way they'll get a chance to mix it up in terms of how they approach different episodes.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, Ryan, we'll let you go. We're running a little over because we're waiting for the other show to come in. So anyway, okay. Maureen Ryan from the Chicago Tribune, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
And once again, it was Maureen Ryan. She's a TV television writer. There you go. For the Chicago Tribune, she's got a column coming up, and we'll all be anticipating seeing that. And it was quite a show. I thank Tom O'Pennicott for being on. Next week, I haven't found anybody to be a guest yet. I'm trying to get the Imperialist Leader to come on. No. Anyway, Sobloft is next with the Power Hour. This is Subject to Discussion. Blog is subject2discussion.com. The email address is smduwf@yahoo.com. Once again, my name is Sean Daly, and see you next week. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
By your command.